All right, since you didn't have the vocabulary list for a couple days, well, let's go over the positioning ones really quickly. HOB stands for head of the bed. Now, Fowler's position is when the head of the bed is 45 degrees. If it is 60 degrees, we call it high Fowler's. If it's 30 degrees, we call it semi-Fowler's. So as long as you remember Fowler's, you can get high and semi pretty easily. If the bed is flat and the head of the bed is down, we call that Trendelenburg. If it's flat and the head of the bed is up, so the whole bed is slanted, but the head is high, we call that reverse Trendelenburg. If the person is lying flat on their back, supine, sometimes also called recumbent, but supine is more common. If the person is lying flat on their face, that's called prone. If a person is lying on the side, we call that a Sims. And lithotomy is when a patient is lying flat on their back with their knees pulled inwards. That's typically the position for a pelvic exam and for delivering babies. All right, let's talk about skin. All right, we talked about the lesion, primary and secondary. Now, macules. Macules are small colored dots less than half a centimeter. So about that pencil eraser. If it's smaller than that, we call it a macule. If it's bigger than that, we call it a patch. Now, can you feel a macule or a patch? No, because it's color only. Now, if there's a raised area that's smaller than 0.5 centimeters, that's called a papule. If it's bigger than 0.5, it's called a nodule. Can you feel papules and nodules? Yes. Can you combine the two? Yes. So you can have a raised spot that's also colored. That would be called a macular papule. So a freckle in and of itself would be called a macule. A flat mole would be called a macule. A raised mole would be called a macular papule. Okay. All right, if you have a raised area that's got a wider surface area than it is tall, that's called a plaque. So the psoriasis that we showed you, that would be called a plaque. A vesicle is a fluid-filled sac less than half a centimeter. So a small blister is called a vesicle. A larger blister is called a bulla. A cyst is a little pocket of cells. So in the case of skin, it's a pocket of skin cells. Typically, it will form a pouch, and a lot of times it can become infected, and they're nasty. But they don't necessarily have to be infected. A pustule is a vesicle that contains pus, kind of easy to understand. A wheal, circumcised circular area of edema. Huh? What does that mean? What does circumscribed mean? Well-defined. So remember when that mosquito bit you? Gave you West Nile virus? Malaria? That little raised bump, that's actually a wheal. So it's also called a hive. Now, hives can come from a number of reasons. Bug bites, viruses, autoimmune processes. They can come around for a lot of different things. But one of them by itself is called a wheal. If you have several of them together, they call it urticaria. Now, in urticaria, sometimes the hives will like kind of mass together and form one big one. That's called an urticarial plaque. Petechiae are little red dots, less than half a centimeter. They're a sign of bleeding underneath the skin. We need to see a picture of that because it's a very important one for you to remember. So if you see it, you're more likely to remember it. pinpoint bleeding with the scab. Well, in that you actually have broken skin. So this is a little bit different. Okay, so see all these little red dots? Those are actually being caused by bleeding underneath the skin. It's one of the earliest signs that a person is overcoagulated or has, well, it's a late sign of DIC, because by that time you've burned up all your clotting factors. But if a person is on medications that will make them clot, it's a sign that they're spontaneously bleeding inside. So we need to either stop or slow down on those anticoagulants. All right. Purpura is a big reddish purple area, greater than 5 centimeters, caused or 0.5 centimeters, caused by subdermal bleeding. So it's essentially big petechia. And can look like that. So in this case, they've actually got a couple patches that have actually broken through the skin. But these big purple splotches, that's called purpura.
How long does something like that take, though?
It just depends on the cause. It can happen pretty quickly, depending on the condition that's causing it.
So what causes it?
What causes it? It's I don't think it's a baby, no. That's
well, yeah, the foot does look small.
Yeah. Nasty stuff. But the purpura is caused by an inability to clot and weakening of the blood vessels. Much more common in elderly people and in things that destroy platelets. So there's some drugs that can destroy platelets, and they can cause purpura. All right, next we have ecchymosis. Ecchymosis is a fancy way of saying bruise. So, usually purple, yellowish in color, at least on white people. So you can see a bruise. So subdermal bleeding that's kind of spreads outwards, it's called a bruise in the common language, and ecchymosis in medicalese. All right, next we have a hematoma. Now, a hematoma is also bleeding under the skin. But what's the difference between ecchymosis and hematoma? Well, you can see both of them. Sometimes, anyway. What's the difference between hematoma and... What do we say oma means? It's a mass. So you feel a hematoma or see it raised upwards, pushes the skin outwards. But with an ecchymosis, you see color. That's the difference. Now, how many of you have ever whacked your head or had known someone who whacked their head and they got this big goose egg? That goose egg is actually a collection of blood under the surface of the skin. It's a hematoma. So, remember, black eyes? Black eyes are really, it's ecchymosis. How many of you remember the swing craze of the late 90s, early like 2000? Remember that? Well, back in the day, I was teaching dance, and so we go to the nightclubs and teach swing for like half an hour, and then, you know, but and kids are just out of control. Like, they want to throw each other up in the air in this, like, you can't even move, and you can barely do the basic, and they're trying to throw each other up in the air, and this girl, someone threw her up in the air, and she was like all the way upside down, and pow, on her head, yes. Gymnastics and alcohol do not mix. And she just had this enormous, it looked so big, we thought her head was going to explode. We thought an alien was going to come out of her head. Yeah, but that was a hematoma caused by buildup of blood under the surface of the skin. All right, excoriation. Excoriation is when you scratch it or scrape it and it becomes a nice big crater. You know, so you basically just scrape open a normal lesion. So what kind of lesion is an excoriation? It's a secondary lesion. All right, a fissure is when you just have a loss of all of the skin layers. Kind of common in athlete's foot. Now here's a nice picture of a fissure on a toe. So they just have a loss of the skin layers straight downwards. Typically, no, unless you injure it. Next, we have abrasion, which is a scraping away of the superficial layers of the skin, often associated with pinpoint bleeding. How many of you have ever been rollerblading and you went skidding across the pavement and you either scraped up your wrist or your chin and you just had like this big scrape away of this, you know, sometimes they'll call it a raspberry. That's an abrasion. Really bad with people who are on motorcycles, and because I mean, even though they're wearing their leather armor, it'll just scrape that stuff off so fast. Road rash is another word for abrasions. Puncture is a skin that has been pierced by a sharp object and then removed. So if you take an ice pick and stab inwards and pull out, that is called a puncture wound. Typically after a puncture wound, the skin clamps around it. And the problem with that is that it can trap bacteria and stuff down in it. So typically, they'll say try and make it bleed so that you can, you know, get that stuff out of there. An impellation is when the skin has been pierced by a sharp object, which is still present. Now, we live in West Palm Beach. What do we have right over there?
Water.
And what do people love to do in water? Fish. So fish hooks are probably the most common impalations that you're going to see other than purposeful body piercings, which are technically impalations. So, eczema, dried skin, pruritus is itching. Yes, ma'am.
Is it better to take the object out or to leave it in? Is that hurtful?
Well,
like in the long run.
You have to take it out.
Well, eventually.
Or else it'll turn into a piercing.
Well, I don't know. Like, if you step on something or the hook gets stuck in your foot, should you leave it in there?
All right.
To get to the hospital?
Now, the problem with fish hooks is that they have barbs, which help prevent them from coming back out. So there's a couple techniques for taking them out. In the worst case scenario, I mean, if it's already all the way through to where the barb is completely exposed, well, in that case, they snip off the barb, pull it out. It really depends on how big it is and where it is. So, I mean, I can't give you a rule of thumb, but, you know, if it's in a place, like, if it's on the bottom of someone's foot and it's a small one and it can be easily removed, I'd say remove it yourself, because what are you going to do, walk on it, you know, to get, you know, anyway. Yeah. The other one is, again, there's a couple different techniques. One of the ways is you tie a string to the hook part, and so you have someone push down on it while someone else pulls on the string, and that way it gets put, you know, pushes the barb, so it doesn't catch the skin as it comes back out. Someone else had a hand raise.
The guy that died scuba diving in Australia, the Australian guy, the alligator, whatever his name is.
Crocodile hunter.
Yeah. He got the barb from the stingray in his chest, and he pulled it out in the water, and he was scuba diving. They said if he left it in, it pierced his aorta, or I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't live.
Okay, so knife wounds. If the knife is still in the person, leave the knife in the person until they get to the hospital. The reason for that is because when you have a large object that's impaled someone, that's actually preventing blood from coming back out. So when you remove that, if you're not ready, the person could bleed out. And that's what happened with Steve Irwin. So, you know, when it pierced his chest, you know, if he would have left it in, it was essentially creating a plug.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that was a big a big stingray. All right. Ulcer is the absence of skin in one or more skin layers. And a decubitus ulcer is one that's caused by pressure, sometimes called bed sores. Now, there's four levels of ulcer. Now, a stage one ulcer is when the skin turns red and stays red for more than 30 minutes. Stage two ulcer is when there's actually skin breakdown. Stage three ulcer is when it's penetrated the dermal layer and it's actually into the fat layer of skin. And then stage four is when you have either muscle or bone exposure, or when you're into the fascia. So those are the four stages of ulcers. You're going to need to memorize those. Not for my course, but you'll need to memorize those for fundamentals and technical skills. Modeling is skin that's multicolored. It usually appears blotchy. And let's see. Here we go. So this is modeling. It can happen if a person doesn't have enough oxygen, or if, you know, that would typically be like vascular diseases. You see it in people's extremities a lot, especially their feet. It can be caused by any number of different things, but on a person's feet, especially elderly, the main thing we think is vascular problems. All right, and then milia. So, what's the difference between milia and a pimple? I can't read that small. Okay. So, milia is filled with keratin. What's a pimple filled with? No, not necessarily pus. Sebum. Sebum that's being fed upon by bacteria. Now, you can have a pimple that's not inflamed. It's when it becomes inflamed, that's where you get the pus. All right. That's it for skin. Whew, that was a lot, huh? But it's fun. Now, there's a lot of words. Okay, you need to start memorizing these words yesterday. All right, let's take a 10-minute break, and then we will head into the lab.